Our Bible reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 12 through to 17, and then verse 23, and can be found on the Pew Bibles in page 809. Now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. So that was what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And moving to verse 23. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Here ends the reading.
Thank you so much, Diane. Let's pray. Lord, we love your word, and we thank you for how you speak to us through it. And Lord, as we now come to consider these words, Holy Spirit, may we be open to your voice and to be changed and transformed by you even this morning. So Lord, would you come and have your way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, when people tell you that the Bible is just a series of random books written by random people a long time ago, I want you to tell them, very kindly, from me, that that is a load of rubbish, okay? That is a load of rubbish. And it's for a few reasons, really. Well, firstly, that's not even historically accurate. No historian worth their weight would agree with that claim. But also, it's rubbish to think that these are just random books thrown together because of the amazing themes and threads that we see that are woven right from Genesis the whole way through to Revelation. There's these amazing threads that are woven from book to book to book to book. And as we've worked our way through this story that we belong to, the sermon series that we've been thinking about, there's been so many threads, hasn't there, that we can trace from Genesis the whole way through to Revelation. The story of redemption is one of them that, you know, is promised to us in Genesis that the people will be redeemed. Simon helped us think about this before Christmas. The story of redemption is promised in Genesis, and then it's sort of spoken through the people of Israel. It's woven through the Old Testament, revealed in Jesus, and then it's woven right through into this future hope that we have of being redeemed and brought to God. The presence of God is another thread. We thought about his presence in Eden, and then how he was present with the people of Israel, and then his presence was established in the temple, how the very presence of God came down in Jesus, and then through the Holy Spirit, and how one day we look forward to be in the very near presence of God himself. Right through the Bible, this thread is weaved. And then last week, Simon helped us think about this thread, or this theme of home, didn't he? For anyone that was here last Sunday morning. We thought about how Eden was home, but then since that, we've been living in exile, but Jesus was crucified outside of Jerusalem's gates, exiled from the city, so that we could be brought home to the heavenly Jerusalem. Wonderful threads from Genesis right through to Revelation. And this morning we're going to think about another thread, another central understanding that weaves its way throughout all of Scripture. And I'll come up in the next slide, these words. It's this thread of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. You know, in Matthew's gospel alone, how many chapters are in Matthew? There are 28 chapters in Matthew. The kingdom of God is mentioned in those 28 chapters over 50 times. 50 times we read about the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven as it's worded, but it's the exact same thing, this kingdom of God. So it's important that we really understand what this thread means. If this is spoken about 50 times in Matthew's gospel and in many other places in Scripture, we really need to understand how does this fit in to the story that we belong to. very simply, what is the kingdom of God? Well, my very simple understanding is that the kingdom of God is anywhere that God is crowned king. Pretty simple. The kingdom of God is anywhere where God is crowned king, anywhere that God reigns. That is the kingdom of God. Anywhere that God is enthroned, wherever God reigns, that is his kingdom. That is the king's dominion. Wherever God is crowned king. And we can trace this thread of rule and reign all the way back to the beginning. So God, as we know, creates this beautiful, incredible world in Genesis 1. And his desire was for us as humans to rule over his creation. We read in Genesis 1 of how God created mankind in his own image so that we would rule over his creation. That was God's desire. You know, maybe you work in a shop or in a coffee shop or something like that. Maybe you're like a shift manager. When you go in there, you're managing the shop. Well, obviously, there's an owner who owns that shop or that coffee shop. And what you're doing is you're managing on their behalf. Maybe you feel like you own the place when you're in there. But usually there is an owner, and then there is somebody who manages on their behalf. It's not a great example, but you get that idea of ruling on somebody's behalf. And in the beginning, God sets humans to rule creation on his behalf, to take all the raw beauty of this world and to create and design and build and steward, to rule and reign with him. That is how it was meant to be. But then, as we know, humanity grabs for ultimate control. The manager of Super Value tries to overthrow the owner or whatever it might be. We try and grab for control, and then we try to become like God. And in this catastrophic moment, it opens the door to this alternative kingdom that mankind brings upon himself, the kingdom of sin and death, that is under Satan's reign. So then God sets in motion this plan, as we know, to restore his kingdom. We know the story because we walk through it every single week as we recap. But he starts by singling out one family and making them into a new kingdom. Then that family grows and it becomes a huge people. And so big, really, that they're taken into captivity by this oppressive kingdom. They're made slaves by the Egyptians, that kingdom. Then God, he liberates his people, doesn't he, through Moses, and he invites them to live under his rule and reign once again. That's good for a while, but God's chosen people, Israel, then end up driving the kingdom of God into the ground, and they're taken off in exile to Babylon. And then eventually there is a returning to their land, but we fast forward to just before we pick up in our reading, not long before. The same people come under Roman oppression. That's another kingdom that's dark and that seems hopeless because the Roman kingdom is so powerful. And these people that we read into this morning, they're feeling the oppression of the Roman kingdom. So what's God going to do now? What is God going to do? How is he going to reestablish his reign over the kingdom of darkness that grips the world? Well, last week, we've seen how the Old Testament ends with this hope of Israel's prophets that one day God is going to come and fix this. That is the hope. But it wasn't in the way that they expected, was it? Not at all. And we fast forward to this moment that we read this morning, the kingdom of God arriving into town in flesh. King Jesus Christ, what a moment. It feels like all of these weeks have been building up to this moment. You know, when I was in primary school in County Fermanagh, there was this particular day that was unlike any other day in primary school. Someone came into the class and said to us that there's going to be an opportunity. The Queen was coming to Enniskillen, County Fermanagh, for like a visit of some sort. And we had an opportunity as a primary school class to go up to Enniskillen and to see the Queen, to be near the Queen, and possibly even meet the Queen. That was what was going to be happening. But there was one problem. This was quite a last-minute arrangement. And the primary school had already arranged another school trip to the fire station in Irvinstown, just down the road, for us to have a bit of a look around the fire station. So, I don't know whose idea this was, but the class was presented with this choice, really. You can either get on the bus up to Enniskillen to go and meet the Queen, or you can go to the fire station in Irvinstown for a look around. And I'll be honest before you, this 7 or 8 year old boy, I can't remember how old I was, must have been about 7 years old, I did make the decision to go and to see and to meet and to even speak to the local fireman in Irvinstown, this guy called Chris, who showed me around. It's quite good, it's quite enjoyable. I didn't really understand the sort of gravity of the situation at that age, but I chose to go to the fire station. But here's the thing, when royalty comes to town, it's a big deal. Of course it is. And we can't even put into words how much more significant this moment is. And so many didn't even realize it. This moment where Jesus comes to town and begins to preach this message that we read already in verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand." The kingdom of God has now come near. This is a world-transforming message. Something new is dawning here. After all of their waiting, the king is literally on the scene. And so much is made new in the arrival of Jesus. You know, all those promises and prophecies find their fulfillment. All the shadows that the people of Israel had been acting out finally become reality. You know, God is now walking around among us. The invisible God made visible. The kingdom of God is now present through Jesus. And this changes everything. And you know, we could spend the rest of the day thinking about what this means, but we're not going to. But one big change that is brought through Jesus arriving in flesh, as we think about the kingdom of God, is what's on the screen currently, and it's this, that this is now a kingdom for all people. A kingdom for all people. This is what we read about Jesus. We've had it read to us already this morning. He withdrew to Galilee, verse 12, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Here's the prophecy that Isaiah spoke about that we read about in the Old Testament. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. And this is huge. You know, Jesus moves to Capernaum, as we read, in this region of Galilee to begin his ministry. And there's huge prophetic significance to this. I really don't want you to miss this. There's huge prophetic significance to Jesus moving to this place in Galilee because it speaks of who could now be welcomed into his kingdom. Galilee was given this longer name in those days that we read about in verse 15. It says here in my translation, Galilee of the Gentiles. But Galilee was known as this, Galil Hagoyim, which really most cleanly translates as this, Galilee of the Nations. That's what Galilee was known as. And it's because there was this huge mix of people and nations all gathered in this one area, people from all over the world gathered in one place. And actually, the strict Jews would have looked down upon this place as being, you know, compromised and unclean. It was known as a place where God's judgment was felt, a land of darkness, as Isaiah literally describes it here. A land dwelling in darkness under the judgment of God. But it's from this place, Galilee of the Nations, all people represented, that a light has dawned, that the light of Jesus has dawned. And from that we learn this beautiful truth, that the kingdom of God has come in Jesus for who? For all people. For all people. The light shines even in the darkest places. So why does Jesus go to Galilee of the nations? It's because Jesus has come to extend his kingdom to every corner of our world. Hallelujah. It's a kingdom for all people. So, folks, let that change tomorrow morning for you. Let that change how you rub shoulders with the people that you rub shoulders with. Whoever you work with, your work colleagues, your friends, or your family, let this change and shape you. You know, those that you think, well, they're just living in darkness and there's absolutely no hope for them. What do we read in verse 16? Those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Let that shape how you interact with those who are near to you. Let it also shape how you interact with those who are far away from you. You know, as you commit to praying for the amazing missionary organizations that we support here as a church, or as you consider giving towards those missionary organizations, people who are reaching the far corners of this earth with the good news of Jesus, let that shape you. This is a kingdom for all people. And then secondly, we notice this in verse 23, if we go to the next slide, that the message of the kingdom is taught, proclaimed, and demonstrated by Jesus. Here's what we read in verse 23. He went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So notice this firstly, the kingdom of God is taught. I find this interesting that God's kingdom, his design, is so radically different and so opposite to the kingdoms of this world that it actually requires an enormous amount of explanation. That's how different God's kingdom is. Jesus goes throughout all of Galilee teaching in their synagogues, and so much of the mission of Jesus is teaching and explaining. You know, teaching that God's kingdom runs in a different direction and is so unbelievably different to every other kingdom that we have known and we have seen. He teaches in their synagogues. And Jesus, right throughout his ministry, we see him teaching. And what he teaches is so, so different to the kingdoms of these days and to the kingdom of our world today. His teaching is so different. And he teaches on power and money, and relationships, marriage, singleness, idolatry, pride, unreconciled relationships, so many other things. You can read all about his teachings in here, and I recommend that you do. Beautiful teachings of what God's kingdom is like. He teaches. And we also know that he proclaims the gospel of the kingdom, which we read about in verse 17. Here is what he's proclaiming. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is at hand. Repent. Jesus is proclaiming that there's now a new way in to God's kingdom. It's open to all, Galilee of the nations, but it's through repentance. And it's open to everybody because of the life, death, and resurrection of King Jesus. He makes this way for us to be forgiven. But it comes through repentance, as Jesus proclaims here. You see, we're all bent in a direction that is away from God. We're all bent in this. We're all created bent away in a different direction from God. Bent towards selfishness and sin and going our own way and doing it our own way. But the gospel of the kingdom of God calls us to repent. And to repent is to have this conviction about how I stand before a holy God. And letting that conviction and that recognition of how sinful I am turn me in a different direction. Where we abdicate the throne of our own lives and receive his forgiveness and make him king. You know, can I say, if you are a Christian with only a few degrees of change, or a Christian who still sees yourself as king or queen of your own life, let me suggest to you that you need to do a 180, and you've got to abdicate the throne. You've got to get off the throne and make him king. That is this message that he proclaims. I have a little quote on the next slide. David Williams, not to be confused with the former judge in Britain's Got Talent, David Williams, says this. I find this really helpful. Repentance isn't simply a change of heart, but such a change as enthrones God in the heart. It's not simply just this little change of heart. It's such a change that enthrones God in the heart. And that is made possible through the cross of Christ. And you know, this isn't just for when you first become a Christian. You know, if you're a Christian this morning, as we enjoy the goodness of the King and as we enjoy the goodness of his kingdom, repentance remains part of the journey. It's not that we become a Christian a whole bunch of times, but we do need to enthrone him over and over and over again and get rid of the other idols and rubbish that we so easily place center stage. That's why we take seriously, week after week, coming together as a church family to confess before God, to place him back on the throne. I hope we really, you know, do that with conviction when we do that each week. And you know, this morning, as we think about this proclamation of repentance, there is a fresh opportunity, even this morning, for you to turn away from your sin and from all the different things that we enthrone in our lives, and to turn to God and enthrone him and come under his rule and his reign, maybe for the first time or once again. So he teaches in the synagogues, he proclaims the gospel of the kingdom, which is to repent. And if we go to the next slide, the final thing we read about is that he healed every disease and affliction among the people. So we've seen the kingdom in word through teaching and proclamation, and now this is the kingdom in action. God's reign being demonstrated through Jesus. And all throughout the Gospels, we read account after account after account of people who King Jesus moves towards, and we see and we read about healing. You know, so many walk away from their encounters with Jesus with their hearts transformed, but also with their bodies transformed. It's something that we read about a lot in the Gospels. The kingdom of God being demonstrated. And you know, here's my conviction. And it's that these stories in the Bible aren't just written to tell you something interesting that happened a long time ago. They're actually written to call you into a living encounter with the same Jesus. And you know, we pray week after week. We give opportunity for people to be prayed with. And we pray week after week in this church for people to be healed. Because we take seriously that prayer that Jesus taught us, that his kingdom would come and his will would be done here on earth as in heaven. And when we do that, there are moments where heaven breaks in and where we have seen people physically healed as we pray for them. You know, some of us were down in Sligo there at a conference throughout the week. And when we were down at this conference, we've seen people physically healed as they were being prayed for. It never gets old. You know, one of our friends here in church was sharing recently about going to hospital to visit a loved one, and they ended up praying with somebody else on the ward. It's quite a serious illness, really. And a short time later, there was a scan, or the doctor came to check on them, or whatever it was. And this person was totally healed. It's amazing. So good. And of course, for now, we are very much on earth. We are not yet in heaven. So we don't see this in its fullness all of the time. But we keep praying that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. So this morning, again, we will be offering prayer ministry for healing. And maybe you want to respond this morning in that way. There might be a need that you have. We would love, as a church, we would love to pray for you. So he taught in the synagogue. He proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. And we read that he healed every disease. So what about us this morning? Well, the mission of Jesus was to open up the kingdom of God to all the nations. That is good news this morning. And it's a kingdom that he taught and he proclaimed and he demonstrated. So, you know, today in February 2026, let me tell you this, his teaching is still the same. You know, no matter what other people or other churches might tell you, whatever views might be put in front of you, his teaching remains the same. And the same message is being proclaimed, repentance and faith. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Still the same message. And there is still demonstration and beautiful signs of God's kingdom through salvation, people coming to Jesus, through healing, through restoration, in lots of other beautiful ways. God's kingdom is still demonstrated. And he still invites us, he is still inviting us, even this morning. And you have a choice, really daily, you have a choice to live under his rule and reign. So I wonder what your response will be this morning. You know, we're going to move into a time of Holy Communion in just a moment. But prayer ministry will be available at the end of our service. And there are a few things that I would love to call us to respond to as we move on in our service. And as prayer ministry becomes available at the end, there's just a few things that I would love to call us to respond to. So let's just take a moment, maybe even just close your eyes where you're seated, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and to apply this to where we find ourselves this morning. The Holy Spirit, would you come and speak into my heart? You know, the kingdom is for all people. So how might you be a carrier of the kingdom of God to those around you? Maybe you want to respond to that this morning. The kingdom's for all people. So how might you be a carrier of the kingdom of God to those around you? Jesus taught, proclaimed, and demonstrated the kingdom. So he taught that the kingdom runs in a different direction to the world. And maybe this morning you realize that your life is not fully under the reign of God. You know, maybe there are thoughts or beliefs or actions that don't align with what Jesus taught. Let the Holy Spirit just bring that to your attention right now. Something in your life that isn't under his reign. Maybe money, a relationship, a viewpoint, pride, maybe bitterness towards somebody, whatever it might be. And we'd love an opportunity to pray with you at the end of our service. He proclaimed the gospel of repentance. Maybe you've never accepted that message of repentance and faith. And maybe this morning God does not reign in your life and you want to come into his family and into his kingdom. Well, again, the prayer ministry team would love to lead you in that step. So come and be prayed for. And thirdly, he healed diseases. Kingdom of God demonstrated. And as I've said already, maybe you have a physical need in your life or in your body. We would love to pray for you this morning, specifically for healing in your body. As I say, prayer ministry will be available at the end of our service. Please do not leave here if you feel the prompting of the Lord. So, King and Kingdom, come. I pray for this, your church, and I pray for your village. We pray that your rule and your reign would transform hearts and lives and bodies, and that we would live under your lordship and for your glory. So So Lord, would you meet with us now as we remember your death until you come? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.